Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, good morning. Well, the last few weeks we have been walking through who we are as a church family through this series, Family Reunion. And I want to share a little secret with you. If you haven't realized this by now, I love words. I'm a little like, I love playing with words. I love puns. I'm a very punny guy. And this whole series, Family Reunion, the title of it is kind of a pun. Now, you might have heard it, and you might have been taken back to fried chicken in the park, playing games out on the lawn, and your Aunt Susie coming and squeezing your cheeks, right? But there's another reason that we're doing this, because through the everyday ups and downs of life, we sometimes can drift away from each other. And as a church, we need to be reminded that what we're all about. And so when I say family reunion, it's actually family reunion. We're doing this to come back together, to unify us back together as a church. And also, I need to say this, as we say family, we have another member of the family who was baptized yesterday. John, we want to say, man, welcome to the family. We are so excited for that. And thank you so many of you guys that were there yesterday. I appreciate that so much. I couldn't be there. I wish I could have been there. But man, I'm so glad that we got to celebrate that with John. And so we've been walking through not only our mission, which our mission is this, that a family of faith growing together to show Christ's love to all. That is who we are. So that's our mission. But we've also been walking through our habits. We've done a couple of habits now. We've done, the first habit was that we gather faithfully. Last week we talked about growing continually, and today we are going to be looking at giving generously. And here's what this full habit is for giving generously. Giving generously as gracious agents of love in God's kingdom through our time, our talents, and our treasures. But before we dissect this habit, I want us to make sure that we turn to God's Word. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, or there's Bibles in the seats in front of you, pick one of those up. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God's able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. So in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, he's already said a few things that are pretty difficult in this second letter to the church in Corinth. But now he's going to go into talking about giving. And what he's asking for is he's asking for an offering to be made for the church in Jerusalem. Now, the church in Corinth, obviously not the same as the church in Jerusalem, but the church in Jerusalem is suffering a famine. And so he's asking them to give towards that church so they might be able to meet the needs of that church as they are in the suffering of the famine. But talking about giving is hard for any pastor. And I take a lot of comfort that it is difficult for Paul as well. And far too often, though, when we hear that word giving, the first thing we do is we start reaching to defend our pocketbook and our wallet, right? We're starting to get back there. However, Paul's showing the Corinthian church that giving is much deeper and it's much richer than just handing over cash. Look back at verse 12 with me. Paul says that the Corinthian church's giving is a service. Do you see that? That Greek word is the word liturgia. I'm sure you can see what word we get from that. Liturgy. We get the word liturgy. But here's what it means. The word was actually used of Old Testament priests whenever they were going to minister before the Lord in the temple. So Paul is essentially saying that our giving is ministry. We're like those priests ministering before the Lord in the temple. And we looked a few weeks ago, we talked about this very thing, that every single one of us in this church, that we have a ministry. We should have a ministry, but this, Paul is equating giving to ministry as well. So we have a ministry in giving because we are called as kingdom priests. You can look at 1 Peter for that. We're called as kingdom priests to help God's bride in this way. So in this passage, Paul uses a form of the word generous over 5 times. In fact, the heading in your Bible for this particular passage might read something like this, generosity encouraged. That may be what yours says, and I know that's what mine said in mine. That's because as followers of Jesus, we understand the generosity of God. James says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. In other words, everything that we have comes from our generous Father, and he doesn't change. He's not going to give you something and then take it away the next day. That's not how he works. He is generous in everything that he does. Even if he takes something away, guess what? He's generous in taking it away because that's his nature. That's his character. He's generous. And following him means that our desire should be to be generous as well. That's what it means. Okay, so let's move on to the last part of our habit. I don't know if you saw this, but we've been working through our habit. Okay, we worked through the couple of words. Now we're going to camp out here on this last part. And this last one, I'm going to give you a little grammar lesson. Anybody? I know we have a few that are grammar, like, freaks. But I'm going to give you a little grammar lesson, okay? Because as we see that generous giving should come because we are gracious agents of love. That's the part of our habit that we're looking at. I want to make sure we understand why these particular words were chosen. Because it seems a little bit weird in the wording of it, right? But I want us to understand exactly what that means. So a lot of times when we hear that word gracious, the first thing we think of is we think of synonyms kind of that people say now, okay? When I say that you're gracious, you might say, oh, they're kind, they're compassionate. But I want to go back to the root of this, what gracious actually means, because it's two things together. You have a root word, grace, and then you have the suffix, us, all right? And I want to look at what those originally meant because that's why this was chosen. Okay, so here's the thing. Grace refers to God's favor and help. You can also say it's God's unmerited favor, nothing that we've done to deserve it. God's favor on us, right? And then the suffix us literally means to have the quality of or being filled with. So when we say we're gracious, that means that we are filled with God's favor and help. That's who we are as followers of Jesus. We are gracious. We are filled with God's favor and help. That's exactly what we're supposed to be. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, understanding how he gave his life for you, not again because of anything that you did, but because of his own character, because of his own love and his own grace, giving you his unmerited favor, the unmerited favor of God, then the question you have to ask yourself is, are you filled with that grace? See, we're supposed to be gracious. Not only that we receive grace, but are we filled with that grace? And having received God's grace through Christ, Are you filled with that same grace towards others? Do you give that grace towards others? If you are, I believe that you cannot help but love others with the same kind of love that God has given to you. Warren Wiersbe, a pastor, he says it this way. He says, grace never looks for a reason. It looks for an opportunity. It doesn't look for a reason to give it away. It looks for an opportunity to give it away. And those filled with God's grace want, hear me, they want to give to others. That's our heart. We're not stingy. We want to give. We look for places and opportunities to be able to give God's love and his grace to other people. And at Community Fellowship, we would say that there are three primary ways that you give that love. Through your time, through your talents and abilities, and through your treasure. So let's look at how each of these plays out, okay? So let's look at the first and the most precious, if I would say it this way, of these resources, and that's time. It's been said of time that it is the most precious resource we have because it's finite and cannot be replaced. Once we spend our time, we cannot get it back. Becca and I, when we moved here to East Bernard, we started kind of getting into this country phase where we're listening to country music a lot. You guys wore on us. You wore on us, all right? And there's this one song that every time I hear it, man, I'm a crier, right? But every time I hear it, I cannot help but get all teared up. And I want to read one of the verses to you. You might be familiar with it, okay? Here's what it says. You can tell your old man you'll do some largemouth fishing another time. You just got too much on your plate to bait and cast a line. You can always put a rain check in his hand till you can't. Man, each of us has been given a set amount of time each day. Each of us has been given a set amount of time for our lives. We only have a limited amount of time. It is a precious, precious resource. And most of us, unfortunately, we're so busy with so many different things, shuffling the kids around to practices, getting things done for work, or even saying yes to all the school activities, that we don't slow down to see how quickly our time is going away. And like we said, we don't get it back. We can't get that back. If we want to be good stewards of this resource that God has given to us, we have to think about how we are spending our time. I'm going to give you a little scenario. Let's say that you have a family member who won the Texas Lotto. Now, let me just pause right here and tell you, I am not promoting gambling. I'm just using it as an illustration, okay? Just using it as an illustration. Now, let's say that they won $50 million. Now, with taxes, of course, that comes out to like $38 million, right? $38 million. But let's say they just start spending it away. I mean, they go and buy a new house. They go buy a vacation house. They go buy new cars. They're going out to eat. They're buying clothes left and right. And they come to you in about a year, and they say, we're in trouble. We're all out of money. We don't even have enough to get us groceries. What would you say to them? Are you joking? Are you kidding with me? You spent all that money. And the next question, probably a really important one. Why didn't you invest that money so you got something in return? Hopefully you see where I'm going with this. We never stop to think of our own investment in return on our time. We don't stop and think about that. Is what I'm doing, is it a wise investment of this limited resource that I have? Can I be honest? Some of us are spending our time doing things that have no significant value whatsoever. Or we think that the thing that we are doing, that it's going to have some kind of value and importance for us or for our kids, when in reality, we're just deceiving ourselves. The only thing that matters is what we have done for Jesus Christ. That is the thing that has significant and lasting value for always and forever. So as people who are led by God's Spirit, we have to continually ask God if we are using our time for His purposes? Are we spending it on things that he wants us to spend it on? Maybe it's this, maybe that the Lord just keeps on nudging you to come and help shepherd and lead and love our students in student ministry because of your own past, something you dealt with in your own past, and he's been nudging you to do that. Or maybe the Lord keeps on bringing to your heart these neighbors that are across the street, and you're supposed to go over and just invite them over for dinner and be prayerful and intentional about sharing Jesus with them. How are you spending your time? Are you investing it well? It's interesting that Paul addresses these same Corinthian believers in a previous letter, encouraging them to use their gifts that God has given them. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul explains how each person in the church has been given what he calls a spiritual gift. These are the God-given abilities to hear God through and encourage others with. And I want to encourage you right now, if you're questioning what that gift is, in August, we are going to be doing a course on spiritual gifts. We're going to go through each of the spiritual gifts and help you understand what God has given you as a spiritual gift. I encourage you to do that. You can do that very easily. Go online, look for the word serve, where you see serve. There will be a link for you to be able to register for that course, that you can learn how to use the gift that God has given you to help build up and encourage his body. So I encourage you to do that. However, it's not just these spiritual gifts that God wants us to give freely of. It's of those specific talents and abilities that we've also been given, that each of us have. One of the most incredible things that I learned in seminary, and I need to pause there because that's probably a little too big of a buildup for what I'm about to tell you. That seems like that's overwhelming, but it's actually this really incredible thing. Do you know who the first person filled with the Spirit of God was in the entire Bible? His name was Bezalel. You're like, I don't know that name. That's okay. It's not one of those famous ones, all right? But Bezalel was an artist. He was the one who helped craft the things for the tabernacle, including the Ark of the Covenant. The first person to be filled with God's Spirit was a tradesman, was a craftsman, so that he could furnish the beauty of the tabernacle. See, far too many times, we think we have to have a particular gift like teaching or being up here and singing to help contribute to the body, to God's church. But many of you have electrical skills, carpentry skills, floral design skills that need to be used as gifts to you in God's church. Now, that last one I used in particular, hopefully you kind of saw that. And I know she's not here this morning, but I just want to say and brag on Annette Hill real quick, because she uses that gift so well for us. And if you've taken pictures in front of our backdrop for any of the last few weeks when we had Easter and we had Mother's Day, or even when we had our date night, she has helped contribute to the beauty of those pictures through her skill and her talent in floral design. And many of you sitting in this room right now, you help build this place that we are sitting in. You use your gifts and talents to help encourage and build up God's church. And I 100% believe that those skills and those abilities that we have, that God wants to use to bless our community. We are supposed to be a blessing to others. That's what we're called to be. And I think that we can use those skills and those gifts to do that. But it's all a matter of how you see it. Do you recognize that they're good and perfect gifts coming down from our Heavenly Father? You've been given these skills and abilities. Or do we keep those skills to ourselves? Do we use them on ourselves, us? They're mine, for me only. If you're a member of Community Fellowship, you should be using your gift to serve others somewhere. Whether that's Sunday morning or at a group throughout the week or even your neighbor down the street, you should be using your gifts. Every member of this family of faith should be giving of their talents and abilities. Finally, giving includes our treasure, our finances. This, in fact, is the primary reason, like we said earlier, that Paul's actually writing to the Corinthians here in 2 Corinthians. Essentially, he's saying, you're quite blessed, Corinthians, which they were. Corinth was a very rich area. They had plenty of financial means. And so he said, you should therefore be looking for ways to give that blessing to others. You should be looking for ways to give it away. It's interesting what Jesus says about our finances. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, what you choose to put money to shows a lot about what you value. It shows a lot about what you value. I've said this before, and I want to be clear about it. The principle of the tithe is an Old Testament principle. As new covenant people, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we are not called to the tenth. We're called to radical generosity like Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to. I love what Pastor J.D. Greer says. Listen to what he says. Jesus did not merely tithe his blood. How much of Jesus' blood did he pour out for us? Not 10%. He poured out 100% of his blood for you. And that means that our responsibility is not just to give our 10% back to God and go on our self-serving way. Our responsibility is to offer 100% of our lives back to him. Whew. Ouch, JD, that hurt. Far too many times we use the tithe as our loophole for giving generously. We use it as a way to get out. Similarly, same thing for our gifts, our abilities, the talents that God's given us. God has given us so, so much. And if we truly understand the gospel, we will look for ways to bless and encourage others. Now, I didn't know this. I didn't know my parents were going to be here today, but they are. I had a story at the very end of this message about them, which is kind of cool that they're here. But several years ago, they shared with this with me and Emily that when they would go out to a restaurant, if they saw a couple, a young family, sitting down at the restaurant and they would pray over their meal, that they would quietly call the waiter over and they would say, we want to take care of their meal. No fanfare, no big trumpets announcing what they were doing, what they were giving, right? But they said, we want to take care of their meal and pay for their meal. Because they recognized the generosity, we give that grace away. You've been given so much grace, you give that grace away. Now, we mentioned this earlier, but it needs to be repeated. Generosity does not flow out of obligation. That's not where generosity comes from. And the last thing that I want is for you to walk out feeling guilty. That's not my goal here. My goal is not for you, oh, well, I got to give more. That's what the pastor said. No, that does not produce the kind of godliness that makes giving generously a habit. You'll probably do it the one time, and then you'll forget. I desire for you to be a generous person in everything that you are, because that's what God wants for us. He knows that it's going to please us. It's going to make us happy to actually give just as much as he's given to us. And Paul understands this. If you look back at the text, he actually says this. He tells the church, don't give out of compulsion, but from your heart. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver. So what you've set aside in your heart to give, give, because God loves a cheerful giver. Because that's where generosity begins and ends, is with our hearts. Because generosity ultimately flows out of a grateful heart, gratitude. Not just gratitude for how God has so richly provided for us by giving us food, a family, even a place to live, but gratitude for how Jesus has paid our sin debt by dying the death that we deserve to die, by generously giving us the undeserved gift of salvation, by simply trusting in what he has done for us. Jesus' sacrifice should fill us with such overwhelming thanksgiving that all we can do is give love away. Listen to one of the commentators' questions on this very idea. What are my motives for donating money for Christian purposes? Am I seeking to relieve my guilt? Is it a payoff to avoid some avenues of Christian service which I'm unwilling to fulfill? Is it to be thought super spiritual by those who notice how much I contribute? Various faulty motives may inspire us to give generously, but only a real appreciation of God's grace can prompt us to give cheerfully. Only God's grace and recognizing what he has done for us can make us cheerful, generous, exuberant givers. Only the grace of God poured out through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he made can create in us a heart that happily gives of our time, our talent, and our treasure. So maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're thinking, Pastor, I hear you. Which one of these is the most important? Which one? Which one's the best one that I can help the church? My time, my talent, my treasure. My answer to you is easy. Yes. Yes. All of them. All of them. All of it builds up the church. That's what we as God's people are supposed to be about, building up his bride. So all of it. And if there's any area that you've listened to this morning and that you feel like the Lord is kind of convicting you in, when we pray here in just a minute, I just ask that you just let the Lord do what the Lord wants to do in you. Just let him move you in the way that he wants to do. Maybe it's this, you know? Maybe you realize you really do need to sign up to help with kids ministry. You've been kind of putting that off, but you recognize that's a way that you can give of your time. I'm going to ask that as we pray that you just talk to the Lord about it. Maybe it's that you know the talent or gift that God has given you. It's specific and you know it. It's incredible talent that you have. As we pray, will you ask God, how can I use that to bless the church, Lord? What can I do with that to help bless your people? Or maybe it's giving of your treasure. Maybe you've kind of been here or there in your giving. You give some, and you're kind of nervous. Maybe you're nervous that if you were consistent and faithful in that, that you wouldn't have enough to take care of yourself. As we pray, I'm going to ask that you ask the Lord, maybe that's a trust issue that you have with him. Talk with him about that. Oh, that we might be gracious agents of love who generously give to God's kingdom of our time, our talent, and our treasure. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we just in unison of gratitude say thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ, that we have forever home with you. We have salvation. We know where we will be for the rest of eternity, and that is in your presence with you because of what Jesus has done for us. And help that grace, that gift that he gave towards us, God, help it to move us to be generous people with everything that we have, God, because we recognize that truthfully all of it comes from you. So, Father, we give back to you what was yours in the first place. We pray this all in Jesus' name.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.